Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso. Today, we'll have the latest San Diego County updates on COVID-19, then hear about a statewide call for more healthcare volunteers. Now, as we're all homebound for the holiday weekend, we'll also have an inspiring story for you about two of the world's most famous musicians who have overcome disabilities and will be performing Passover and Easter concerts online, streaming around the world to give everyone hope. Then hear our tips for how to stay fit and not get flabby while quarantining at home. We'll also tell you about the county's new virtual recreation center. And then on People Power, hear about a fundraising effort organized by Barry Jansen family to help healthcare workers at Sharp Grossmont Hospital who are on the front lines battling COVID-19. We have news about relief funds set up to help local refugees and what two local colleges are doing to help provide equipment and masks to local hospitals. Then on our agricultural report, hear about local farms delivering farm fresh foods directly to your doorstep. Plus, La Mesa's Farmers Market is back with on-the-go ordering and curbside pickup services. Then we'll have a special report of our own on Lake Morena, where a do-not-drink order for tap water has been in effect for over 7 months. Santee City Council has approved protections to prevent businesses from being evicted due to COVID-19 losses, and we'll have details. And finally, from Public News Service, learn why domestic violence is up during COVID-19 stay-at-home orders nationwide, plus other national news highlights. So stay tuned for the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. San Diego now reports over 1,600 COVID-19 cases countywide and 40 deaths with cases across our region. The county has now banned all gatherings, even those with less than 10 people, unless they are in your own household. Both the city and county of San Diego have begun having police and sheriff officials issue citations for violators with fines of up to $1,000 and possible jail time. Everyone is urged to stay home except for essential needs to help flatten the curve. The good news is that statewide, the curve is showing signs of starting to flatten, according to state health officials. Governor Newsom, however, has ordered schools to remain closed for the rest of the school year. Masks or face coverings are strongly recommended for everyone going out in public and are now required in San Diego County for essential workers at grocery stores, pharmacies, banks, public transit, and child care workers serving food. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
The state of California has set up the California Health Corps registration and is making an urgent request for health professionals or medical students during the COVID-19 crisis. Participants will be paid and will be given malpractice insurance coverage. Locations will vary, but the organization will try to match your geographical preferences. You can sign up at healthcarevolunteers.ca.gov. The website indicates that to prepare for an increase in the number of people who urgently need healthcare in California communities, the state plans to open additional healthcare sites to provide medical services for both the people who have symptoms of or test positive for COVID-19 and to provide care for non-COVID-19 cases. The following healthcare professionals are among those sought, though additional occupations are listed in the actual application. Physicians, including both medical doctors and doctors of osteopathy, medical students, pharmacists, dentists, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, nurses and nursing students, behavioral health professionals such as psychiatrists, psychologists, and psychiatric nurse practitioners, respiratory therapists, paramedics, medical assistants, emergency medical technicians, and more. To help respond to the critical need for healthcare during the COVID-19 crisis in California, healthcare workers can sign up for these paid positions at healthcarevolunteers.ca.gov. Reporting on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Arts and Music Spotlight.
world might be dark at the moment, but several performers with disabilities are bringing light and joy to millions around the world, says Jennifer Laszlo Misra with Respectability, an organization advocating for people with disabilities. Now, this weekend, two of the world's most famous musicians, violinist Itzhak Perlman and opera singer Andrea Bocelli, who each triumphed over disabilities, will be offering free concerts online to celebrate Passover and Easter. The springtime Jewish holiday of Passover is about liberation from slavery in ancient Egypt, and the Passover Seder is filled with music that celebrates liberation and freedom. On Saturday, April 11th, from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, on station WRTI, that's 90.1 FM, violinist Itzhak Perlman, who had polio, will share Passover music from many traditions, plus songs and memories from his childhood in Israel. Like most churches this Easter, the historic Duomo Cathedral in Milan, Italy, will be closed to the public due to the coronavirus pandemic. But over the empty pews on Sunday, the voice of famed opera singer Andrea Bocelli, who is blind, will echo through the cathedral in a special audience-free concert titled Bocelli, Music for Hope. The concert will be live-streamed on Bocelli's YouTube channel, and that's spelled B-O-C-E-L-L-I, at 7 p.m. in Italy, which is 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we wish a safe and joyous Passover and Easter to all of our listeners on KNSJ.
On the Next Door discussion forum, one local resident asked others staying at home due to COVID-19, anyone else getting fat? He complained that watching movies while eating chips and guzzling root beer was taking a toll on his waistline. Several other residents posted that they're gaining weight too. Some blamed it on lack of exercise with gyms and parks closed. Another said he's eating too much of his wife's good cooking. One woman called the weight gain trend COVID-20, the 20 pounds you'll gain, while self-isolating. So we've come up with some fun fitness options that you can do to stay fit, not flabby, while self-quarantining at home. The World Health Organization, or WHO, recommends 150 minutes of moderate intensity or 75 minutes of vigorous intensity physical activity per week, or a combination of both, for healthy people. These recommendations can be achieved with no special equipment and with limited space. If you Google World Health Organization and search for physically active during quarantine, you'll find their website has photos and descriptions of exercises you can do at home ranging from squats, planks and back extensions to chair dips, knee lifts, and to relieve stress, seated meditation. There's also a guide to healthy eating. The Los Angeles Dodgers Director of Strength and Conditioning, Brandon McDaniel, is live streaming free workouts for baseball fans to join in at home. They will be available each Monday and Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, streaming on the Dodgers Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter pages. The City of El Cajon has set up a virtual recreation center online where you can take a virtual fitness class at no cost, including yoga, a workout course, and a fitness training club. Kids can enjoy cosmic yoga, fitness videos, as well as energy-busting indoor games and activities. Dance Magazine has published a list of where you can find online dance classes. Some are free, others are low cost, and a few are pricier. Styles range from hip-hop to ballet and Broadway. Walking and stair climbing at home are two easy ways to get moving inside. If you have space in a garage or spare bedroom, you can add a stationary bike, treadmill, or other gym equipment. One creative mom put her kids' bikes' training wheels into adult shoes, turning them into stationary bikes the kids could pedal in front of the TV. Simple exercises such as jump roping, hopscotch, or jumping jacks can also help kids and adults burn off energy and keep fit. If you have a lawn, you can put up a badminton net for outdoor exercising with a family member. A punching bag, beanbag toss, lawn bowling, a basketball hoop, or game of catch can all help youngsters stay active. If you don't have a yard, knocking a balloon around, floor exercises, dancing, or playing games such as follow the leader while hopping and jumping down a hallway can help kids exercise even in an apartment or condo. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
You're listening to the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso, bringing you public interest news for our region.
The County of San Diego's Department of Parks and Recreation has launched a virtual recreation center. You can find it online at sdparks.org. This is your one-stop shop for tips and tales to help you pass the downtime caused by school closures, quarantines, and other county advisories. From virtual hikes to daily home fitness challenges, the site has both indoor and outdoor activities for adults and kids who are homebound. The sdparks.org site states, "While our standard rallying cry is to encourage people to spend more time outside, we understand that recent realities may not make that feasible. We're now poised to offer many of our incredible outdoor activities in an online environment or in a manner that supports social distancing." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
This is East County Magazine's People Power, profiling local people making a positive difference in our community and our world.
This is Miriam Raftery with a People Power report. Barry Jantz, the CEO of Grossmont Healthcare District, and his family have launched a GoFundMe site on behalf of the Grossmont Hospital Foundation to help healthcare workers with an on-site food pantry and medical supplies. The page on GoFundMe is called Food Pantry and Supplies at Sharp Grossmont Hospital. While healthcare workers at the hospital are working tirelessly to care for COVID-19 patients, many are unable to go to the store and get items they need for their families, either because items are gone from store shelves or they're just exhausted by the end of their shift. On a daily basis, these amazing individuals are here doing their very best to help those in need, a message from Jantz and his family members states. A contribution via this GoFundMe page will go to the nonprofit Grossmont Hospital Foundation to provide food pantry items and much-needed hospital supplies to protect frontline caregivers during the crisis. Donations are 100% tax-deductible. People can also donate non-perishable food items and personal protective equipment directly. You can check details on what's needed and the criteria at the GoFundMe page. And that site is called, again, Food Pantry and Supplies at Sharp Grossmont Hospital on GoFundMe. Jantz concludes, "This is our way as a family of giving a little bit back to the healthcare workers that take care of us every day, but now when they need us the most."
Refugees are among the hardest hit among our local residents impacted by COVID-19 shutdown orders. These are immigrants legally admitted to the U.S. after suffering war, famine, or other life-threatening hardships, primarily from the Middle East, Africa, and Southeast Asia. To help these new Americans, Partnership for Advancement of New Americans, in partnership with other refugee assistance organizations, has launched the San Diego County Refugee Assistance Fund. Every penny will be donated directly to help a local refugee family, with a goal of giving a $1,000 grant per family. You can donate at the Partnership for Advancement of New Americans website at PANASD.org. According to their website, the majority of San Diego's refugee workers are in the restaurant, hotel, and transportation industries hardest hit by the pandemic. Many have lost income and jobs. With school closures, families without internet access at home also need help, so children can complete school assignments online. Again, you can donate to help refugees in San Diego County at PANASD.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the network for social justice, this is Jonathan Getz.
Loaning ventilators, aiding stranded cruise ship passengers, and stitching homemade face masks are some of the ways that Grossmont Cuyamaca Community College District employees are responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. Chancellor Lynn Nolt says, "This global epidemic can only be fought with a sense of unity and a common mission to help humanity in any way we can. The scourge has been a humbling lesson in how vulnerable we are, even in this modern age. I am grateful to our employees for opening their hearts and responding with such compassion," she adds. Grossmont College has loaned 18 ventilators to two local hospitals and the state to increase the supply of the life-saving equipment for COVID-19 patients. The ventilators, which are used in Grossmont's respiratory therapy program, are valued at almost $400,000. Locally, they went to Kaiser Hospital in San Diego and Sharp Grossmont in La Mesa, as well as to the state's Office of Emergency Services. Grossmont College chemistry instructor Jeff Lehman was set to spend his spring break with his wife on a cruise ship bound for Mexico, and then COVID-19 struck. Lehman instead spent 3 weeks in March doing disaster relief work as a member of the government's National Disaster Medical System, removing and relocating passengers off the Grand Princess cruise ship, which was stranded off the California coast after several aboard were sickened by the deadly virus. On the Grossmont College campus in El Cajon, a faculty member organized instructors to make masks out of outdated nursing uniforms, and those masks have since been distributed to local healthcare workers and to the San Diego Police Department to help keep first responders safe.
How you gonna keep 'em down on the farm after they leave Paris?
If you're looking to avoid grocery store lines and support local farmers while enjoying fresh, locally grown foods, there are now dozens of local farms and ranches eager to meet your needs. The San Diego Sustainable Living Institute has set up a website listing dozens of local farms, including their locations, which provide curbside service, shipping, and/or delivery during the COVID-19 shutdown. You can view that very helpful site at sdsustainable.org and click on the San Diego Farms section. You can even have fresh fish delivered to your doorstep, as well as specialty items such as microgreens, pasture-raised beef, fresh fruits and veggies, herbs, olive oil, wine, and more. The San Diego Sustainable Living List includes several farms and ranches in East County, although many of them will deliver countywide. There's also a directory at the San Diego Farm Bureau site, which is sdfarmbureau.org, of local farmers and ranchers selling products direct to consumers. You can click on the name of each farm to see inventory on a daily basis of products that range from fruits and vegetables to eggs, beef, poultry, honey, and more. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
La Mesa's Certified Farmers Market has returned with an on-the-go model to comply with county rules barring crowds due to the COVID-19 outbreak. You can place orders online at onthegofarmersmarket.com by 3 p.m. Thursday and choose a drive-through pickup time Friday between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. The pickup location is the parking lot on Allison Avenue between Palm and 4th Street. You can choose a box of produce from one of your favorite farms or create your own selection of fruits and veggies. There are also farmers market favorites, such as fresh pastas, salsas, sourdough bread, eggs, jam, nuts, honey, fudge, and more. Ordering at the on-the-go farmers market site helps support local farmers who are impacted by farmers markets and restaurants closing down, as well as provide your household with fresh, locally grown foods to enjoy while you're cooking at home during the county's stay-at-home order. Reporting for East County Magazine in La Mesa, this is Jonathan Getz.
Last September, the county issued a do not drink order for 123 customers of the Lake Morena View's Mutual Water Company in San Diego's East County due to high nitrate levels. And now, nearly 7 months later, high nitrate levels in the district's well water persist, forcing many rural residents to continue relying on bottled water for drinking and cooking. Solving the problem will take more money than the small rural district can currently afford. As a result, the state is mandating that to receive funding help, the district must be combined with the neighboring Oak Shores Municipal Water District, which serves Lake Morena Village, even though customers in that district previously voted against consolidation. According to the state, infants under 6 months old and pregnant women should not drink water with high nitrate levels. Infants who do drink nitrate-contaminated water or formula made with it can develop blue baby syndrome, which leads to death if untreated. High nitrates can also affect oxygen-carrying ability of the blood in pregnant women. Wellman Simmons, president of the water district, says elderly and those who are sick should also not use tap water for cooking or drinking. Boiling, freezing, filtering, or letting tap water stand will not reduce nitrate levels, and boiling can actually increase the concentrations. The nitrates are most likely from runoff of agricultural sources such as fertilizers or septic systems. Initially, the district was giving bottled water to all residents, but when stores started rationing sales of bottled water due to COVID-19-induced hoarding, the district was forced to instead advise residents to go to the Lake Morena Malt Shop and obtain quarters provided by the district to buy a gallon of water a day per family member. Those who want more water, such as for their pets, have to buy it. Meanwhile, residents continue using tap water for washing dishes and bathing. On March 26th, resident Debbie Rice posted on Facebook, "Does anyone in the Upper Village have an update on when we may have drinkable water again? The time frame gets more desperate every day." But, she noted, "our little water company has been through hell. Even with all the adversity, the alternative is to drill our own well, a costly option, with no guarantee of getting safer water." Simmons says the district has already spent $20,000 of shareholders' money on upgrades, but needs another $13,000 to put a nitrate automatic monitoring system in. The district takes in only about $15,000 in each billing period and has $11,000 in expenses each billing period. Now with the COVID-19 shutdown, Simmons says, "we don't know how many people are going to be able to pay their bills. We're working on it the best we can, trying to keep down expenses for everybody." The district is hoping for a state grant, but that would be contingent on merging with Oak Shores, the neighboring water district, which has submitted a signed board resolution to agree to consider consolidation. But the new nitrate monitoring system still has to go through county planning and engineering reviews. The district has been plagued by other problems. One well has been shut down for some time due to natural uranium, a problem not uncommon in our region's rural areas in deep wells. In late 2016, the district was cited by the county for violations of the California Safe Drinking Water Act. Nitrate levels fluctuate depending on a variety of factors, including rainfall and runoff. The maximum nitrate level allowed by the state is 10 milligrams per liter. Since the September public warning, the levels have ranged from a low of just over 10 to a high of more than 32 in the most recent reading. Simmons says the district has asked the state and county to expedite testing and permitting of the interim water treatment system, and if all goes well, he hopes to have the new nitrate monitoring and shutoff system in place in June. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
You're listening to the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for our region.
Santee City Council has amended a law that it recently passed banning evictions of residential tenants hurting from the effects of the coronavirus. The amended version now protects commercial tenants as well. The revised law passed unanimously April 8th. It prohibits landlords from evicting both residential and commercial tenants from leased quarters for non-payment of rent if the tenant proves they can't pay the rent because of financial impacts related to COVID-19. For businesses leasing property, the law specifies that tenants must show they've suffered a substantial decrease in business income caused by a reduction in opening hours or consumer demand. The law defines substantial decrease to mean at least a 30% decline in business income. Rent forgiveness, even for negatively impacted businesses, is not permitted. Tenants are required to notify landlords they can't pay their rent within at most 7 days of the due date, according to the law. California Governor Gavin Newsom enacted an executive order back on March 27th installing a moratorium on evictions for all residential tenants statewide impacted by COVID-19, but he left it up to local jurisdictions to define how commercial tenants could be accommodated. Six cities and the County of San Diego have enacted eviction moratoriums for commercial tenants during the crisis, including La Mesa and Poway in our inland region. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for April the 10th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. The week ends with the story that's dominated the news for a month now, and while stay-at-home measures appear to be slowing the spread of the new coronavirus, they're also leading to an increase in domestic violence.
It's a worldwide phenomenon. Where social distancing keeps people in their homes, reports of domestic violence have surged. In New York City, visits to the city's domestic violence website more than doubled in the past 3 weeks. Although many city and state services have been curtailed by the pandemic, Anna Maria Diamanti with the legal services organization Her Justice says courts still are open for virtual appearances in emergency proceedings.
The courts are up and running for order of protection applications, and there are agencies out there that are available to help for those services.
The New York State Domestic and Sexual Violence Hotline has contact information for local support programs throughout the state at 800-942-6906. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
April happens to be Child Abuse Prevention Month this year. It comes with the extra challenge as families shelter in place. Kathy Carmen is an instructor in Boise for the program Stewards of Children, which holds training on child sex abuse prevention for adults.
When children are in isolated situations, that's when, from what research tells us, about 80% of the sexual abuse occurs. And we are isolated in our own homes right now.
About 90% of victims know their abusers. Carmen says children being out of school also increases the chances for abuse. Meantime, young adults aging out of foster care in the U.S. have been thrown into the crisis during the COVID-19 pandemic. That's according to a new report.
Celeste Bodner is with Foster Club, a national network for young adults out of foster care that ran the study through Facebook and email. Bodner says foster youth in college have been hit especially hard as schools began to close, leaving them without a childhood home to return to.
Last week, we found that among 18 to 24-year-olds, that housing instability surfaced right away. Since the start of the crisis, about 40% have already been forced to move or fear losing their housing.
The report also found that almost 30% of foster young adults surveyed said they don't have enough to eat, and about a quarter said they have no emotional support at a time they need more reassurance than ever. The Foster Club website includes some foster youth resources. Bodner explains that West Virginia's foster young adults are particularly vulnerable during the pandemic. I'm Diane Bernard.
The study also finds more than 25% of young people surveyed have lost their jobs. Almost 40% have had their work hours cut. In 2017, more than 17,000 young people in the U.S. aged out of foster care without permanent families. This is PNS. The coronavirus pandemic has sabotaged what was a booming U.S. economy. Some experts don't expect it to be roaring back as the health crisis abates. The number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits surged to record levels last week, bringing the total applications to nearly 17 million. Jim Peach is a former economics professor at New Mexico State University.
We've never seen anything like this. And none of the economic models are any good at this point. The economic models are designed to deal with small changes, not huge changes.
Federal figures show nearly 73,000 people in New Mexico filed for unemployment in the past 3 weeks, compared to a normal weekly number of claims between 600 and 900. The Economic Policy Institute estimates New Mexico will have the 10th highest job loss nationwide in tourism and hospitality due to COVID-19. Minnesota school districts carrying out distance learning as most of the state remains shut down due to the pandemic. Schools in Minnesota closed through early May, possibly the rest of the academic year. That means that teachers and parents are responsible for making sure children are still learning at home. Jim Crossan's with the group Ed Allies. He's concerned because there are situations where barriers exist.
We're hearing from English language learners, families where English is not a language spoken at home, or it's not the first language spoken at home, that are having a tough time being able to receive information from schools and school districts to then implement these district learning plans at homes.
Crossan says some families don't have internet access or a parent's job situation does not allow them to ensure that their child is doing their schoolwork. The education commissioner there says the guidelines allow districts to create plans to meet the needs of individual students rather than a one-size-fits-all approach. Finally, Eric Tegadoff tells us many farm workers say they feel left behind and in the dark in the coronavirus pandemic.
Considered essential personnel, farm workers have continued doing their jobs. But head of the farm workers' rights group Community to Community Development, Rosalinda Guillen, says information on how laborers can protect themselves has been slow to reach them. She says they're also unsure how to access paid sick leave, unemployment benefits if they're laid off, and the stimulus checks approved by Congress.
Many of them feel like they're not going to qualify, but also a lot of them think, this always works for everybody else, but it never works for us.
Guillen says workers also are concerned about how they'll pay the rent when this crisis is over.
She says it doesn't feel like farm workers are being treated as essential workers. Rather, it's the industry being treated as essential. Thanks for wrapping up your week in this new mode of separation. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show or get involved as a volunteer, on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show.
Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso. Today, we'll have the latest San Diego County updates on COVID-19, then hear about a statewide call for more healthcare volunteers. Now, as we're all homebound for the holiday weekend, we'll also have an inspiring story for you about two of the world's most famous musicians who have overcome disabilities and will be performing Passover and Easter concerts online, streaming around the world to give everyone hope. Then hear our tips for how to stay fit and not get flabby while quarantining at home. We'll also tell you about the county's new virtual recreation center. And then on People Power, hear about a fundraising effort organized by Barry Jansen family to help healthcare workers at Sharp Grossmont Hospital who are on the front lines battling COVID-19. We have news about relief funds set up to help local refugees and what two local colleges are doing to help provide equipment and masks to local hospitals. Then on our agricultural report, hear about local farms delivering farm-fresh foods directly to your doorstep. Plus, La Mesa's Farmers Market is back with on-the-go ordering and curbside pickup services. Then we'll have a special report of our own on Lake Morena, where a do-not-drink order for tap water has been in effect for over 7 months. Santee City Council has approved protections to prevent businesses from being evicted due to COVID-19 losses, and we'll have details. And finally, from Public News Service, learn why domestic violence is up during COVID-19 stay-at-home orders nationwide, plus other national news highlights. So stay tuned for the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. San Diego now reports over 1,600 COVID-19 cases countywide and 40 deaths with cases across our region. The county has now banned all gatherings, even those with less than 10 people, unless they are in your own household. Both the city and county of San Diego have begun having police and sheriff officials issue citations for violators with fines of up to $1,000 and possible jail time. Everyone is urged to stay home except for essential needs to help flatten the curve. The good news is that statewide, the curve is showing signs of starting to flatten, according to state health officials. Governor Newsom, however, has ordered schools to remain closed for the rest of the school year. Masks or face coverings are strongly recommended for everyone going out in public and are now required in San Diego County for essential workers at grocery stores, pharmacies, banks, public transit, and child care workers serving food. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
The state of California has set up the California Health Corps registration and is making an urgent request for health professionals or medical students during the COVID-19 crisis. Participants will be paid and will be given malpractice insurance coverage. Locations will vary, but the organization will try to match your geographical preferences. You can sign up at healthcarevolunteers.ca.gov. The website indicates that to prepare for an increase in the number of people who urgently need healthcare in California communities, the state plans to open additional healthcare sites to provide medical services for both the people who have symptoms of or test positive for COVID-19 and to provide care for non-COVID-19 cases. The following healthcare professionals are among those sought, though additional occupations are listed in the actual application. Physicians, including both medical doctors and doctors of osteopathy, medical students, pharmacists, dentists, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, nurses and nursing students, behavioral health professionals such as psychiatrists, psychologists, and psychiatric nurse practitioners, respiratory therapists, paramedics, medical assistants, emergency medical technicians, and more. To help respond to the critical need for healthcare during the COVID-19 crisis in California, healthcare workers can sign up for these paid positions at healthcarevolunteers.ca.gov. Reporting on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Arts and Music Spotlight.
The world might be dark at the moment, but several performers with disabilities are bringing light and joy to millions around the world, says Jennifer Laszlo Misra with Respectability, an organization advocating for people with disabilities. Now, this weekend, two of the world's most famous musicians, violinist Itzhak Perlman and opera singer Andrea Bocelli, who each triumphed over disabilities, will be offering free concerts online to celebrate Passover and Easter. The springtime Jewish holiday of Passover is about liberation from slavery in ancient Egypt, and the Passover Seder is filled with music that celebrates liberation and freedom. On Saturday, April 11th, from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, on station WRTI, that's 90.1 FM, violinist Itzhak Perlman, who had polio, will share Passover music from many traditions, plus songs and memories from his childhood in Israel. Like most churches this Easter, the historic Duomo Cathedral in Milan, Italy, will be closed to the public due to the coronavirus pandemic. But over the empty pews on Sunday, the voice of famed opera singer Andrea Bocelli, who is blind, will echo through the cathedral in a special audience-free concert titled Bocelli, Music for Hope. The concert will be live-streamed on Bocelli's YouTube channel, and that's spelled B-O-C-E-L-L-I, at 7 p.m. in Italy, which is 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we wish a safe and joyous Passover and Easter to all of our listeners on KNSJ.
On the Next Door discussion forum, one local resident asked others staying at home due to COVID-19, anyone else getting fat? He complained that watching movies while eating chips and guzzling root beer was taking a toll on his waistline. Several other residents posted that they're gaining weight too. Some blamed it on lack of exercise with gyms and parks closed. Another said he's eating too much of his wife's good cooking. One woman called the weight gain trend COVID-20, the 20 pounds you'll gain, while self-isolating. So we've come up with some fun fitness options that you can do to stay fit, not flabby, while self-quarantining at home. The World Health Organization, or WHO, recommends 150 minutes of moderate intensity or 75 minutes of vigorous intensity physical activity per week, or a combination of both, for healthy people. These recommendations can be achieved with no special equipment and with limited space. If you Google World Health Organization and search for physically active during quarantine, you'll find their website has photos and descriptions of exercises you can do at home ranging from squats, planks and back extensions to chair dips, knee lifts, and to relieve stress, seated meditation. There's also a guide to healthy eating. The Los Angeles Dodgers Director of Strength and Conditioning, Brandon McDaniel, is live streaming free workouts for baseball fans to join in at home. They will be available each Monday and Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, streaming on the Dodgers Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter pages. The City of El Cajon has set up a virtual recreation center online where you can take a virtual fitness class at no cost, including yoga, a workout course, and a fitness training club. Kids can enjoy cosmic yoga, fitness videos, as well as energy-busting indoor games and activities. Dance Magazine has published a list of where you can find online dance classes. Some are free, others are low-cost, and a few are pricier. Styles range from hip-hop to ballet and Broadway. Walking and stair climbing at home are two easy ways to get moving inside. If you have space in a garage or spare bedroom, you can add a stationary bike, treadmill, or other gym equipment. One creative mom put her kids' bikes' training wheels into adult shoes, turning them into stationary bikes the kids could pedal in front of the TV. Simple exercises such as jump roping, hopscotch, or jumping jacks can also help kids and adults burn off energy and keep fit. If you have a lawn, you can put up a badminton net for outdoor exercising with a family member, a punching bag, beanbag toss, lawn bowling, a basketball hoop, or game of catch can all help youngsters stay active. If you don't have a yard, knocking a balloon around, floor exercises, dancing, or playing games such as follow the leader while hopping and jumping down a hallway can help kids exercise even in an apartment or condo. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
You're listening to the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for our region.
The County of San Diego's Department of Parks and Recreation has launched a virtual recreation center. You can find it online at sdparks.org. This is your one-stop shop for tips and tales to help you pass the downtime caused by school closures, quarantines, and other county advisories. From virtual hikes to daily home fitness challenges, the site has both indoor and outdoor activities for adults and kids who are homebound. The sdparks.org site states, "While our standard rallying cry is to encourage people to spend more time outside, we understand that recent realities may not make that feasible. We're now poised to offer many of our incredible outdoor activities in an online environment or in a manner that supports social distancing." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
This is East County Magazine's People Power, profiling local people making a positive difference in our community and our world.
This is Miriam Raftery with a People Power report. Barry Jantz, the CEO of Grossmont Healthcare District, and his family have launched a GoFundMe site on behalf of the Grossmont Hospital Foundation to help healthcare workers with an on-site food pantry and medical supplies. The page on GoFundMe is called Food Pantry and Supplies at Sharp Grossmont Hospital. While healthcare workers at the hospital are working tirelessly to care for COVID-19 patients, many are unable to go to the store and get items they need for their families, either because items are gone from store shelves or they're just exhausted by the end of their shift. On a daily basis, these amazing individuals are here doing their very best to help those in need, a message from Jantz and his family members states. A contribution via this GoFundMe page will go to the nonprofit Grossmont Hospital Foundation to provide food pantry items and much-needed hospital supplies to protect frontline caregivers during the crisis. Donations are 100% tax-deductible. People can also donate non-perishable food items and personal protective equipment directly. You can check details on what's needed and the criteria at the GoFundMe page. And that site is called, again, Food Pantry and Supplies at Sharp Grossmont Hospital on GoFundMe. Jantz concludes, "This is our way as a family of giving a little bit back to the healthcare workers that take care of us every day, but now when they need us the most."
Refugees are among the hardest hit among our local residents impacted by COVID-19 shutdown orders. These are immigrants legally admitted to the U.S. after suffering war, famine, or other life-threatening hardships, primarily from the Middle East, Africa, and Southeast Asia. To help these new Americans, Partnership for Advancement of New Americans, in partnership with other refugee assistance organizations, has launched the San Diego County Refugee Assistance Fund. Every penny will be donated directly to help a local refugee family, with a goal of giving a $1,000 grant per family. You can donate at the Partnership for Advancement of New Americans website at PANASD.org. According to their website, the majority of San Diego's refugee workers are in the restaurant, hotel, and transportation industries hardest hit by the pandemic. Many have lost income and jobs. With school closures, families without internet access at home also need help, so children can complete school assignments online. Again, you can donate to help refugees in San Diego County at PANASD.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the network for social justice, this is Jonathan Getz.
Loaning ventilators, aiding stranded cruise ship passengers, and stitching homemade face masks are some of the ways that Grossmont Cuyamaca Community College District employees are responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. Chancellor Lynn Nolt says, "This global epidemic can only be fought with a sense of unity and a common mission to help humanity in any way we can. The scourge has been a humbling lesson in how vulnerable we are, even in this modern age. I am grateful to our employees for opening their hearts and responding with such compassion," she adds. Grossmont College has loaned 18 ventilators to two local hospitals and the state to increase the supply of the life-saving equipment for COVID-19 patients. The ventilators, which are used in Grossmont's respiratory therapy program, are valued at almost $400,000. Locally, they went to Kaiser Hospital in San Diego and Sharp Grossmont in La Mesa, as well as to the state's Office of Emergency Services. Grossmont College chemistry instructor Jeff Lehman was set to spend his spring break with his wife on a cruise ship bound for Mexico, and then COVID-19 struck. Lehman instead spent 3 weeks in March doing disaster relief work as a member of the government's National Disaster Medical System, removing and relocating passengers off the Grand Princess cruise ship, which was stranded off the California coast after several aboard were sickened by the deadly virus. On the Grossmont College campus in El Cajon, a faculty member organized instructors to make masks out of outdated nursing uniforms, and those masks have since been distributed to local healthcare workers and to the San Diego Police Department to help keep first responders safe.
How you gonna keep 'em down on the farm after they leave Paris?
If you're looking to avoid grocery store lines and support local farmers while enjoying fresh, locally grown foods, there are now dozens of local farms and ranches eager to meet your needs. The San Diego Sustainable Living Institute has set up a website listing dozens of local farms, including their locations, which provide curbside service, shipping, and/or delivery during the COVID-19 shutdown. You can view that very helpful site at sdsustainable.org and click on the San Diego Farms section. You can even have fresh fish delivered to your doorstep, as well as specialty items such as microgreens, pasture-raised beef, fresh fruits and veggies, herbs, olive oil, wine, and more. The San Diego Sustainable Living list includes several farms and ranches in East County, although many of them will deliver countywide. There's also a directory at the San Diego Farm Bureau site, which is sdfarmbureau.org, of local farmers and ranchers selling products direct to consumers. You can click on the name of each farm to see inventory on a daily basis of products that range from fruits and vegetables to eggs, beef, poultry, honey, and more. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
La Mesa's Certified Farmers Market has returned with an on-the-go model to comply with county rules barring crowds due to the COVID-19 outbreak. You can place orders online at onthegofarmersmarket.com by 3 p.m. Thursday and choose a drive-through pickup time Friday between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. The pickup location is the parking lot on Allison Avenue between Palm and 4th Street. You can choose a box of produce from one of your favorite farms or create your own selection of fruits and veggies. There are also farmers market favorites, such as fresh pastas, salsas, sourdough bread, eggs, jam, nuts, honey, fudge, and more. Ordering at the on-the-go farmers market site helps support local farmers who are impacted by farmers markets and restaurants closing down, as well as provide your household with fresh, locally grown foods to enjoy while you're cooking at home during the county's stay-at-home order. Reporting for East County Magazine in La Mesa, this is Jonathan Getz.
Last September, the county issued a do not drink order for 123 customers of the Lake Morena View's Mutual Water Company in San Diego's East County due to high nitrate levels. And now, nearly 7 months later, high nitrate levels in the district's well water persist, forcing many rural residents to continue relying on bottled water for drinking and cooking. Solving the problem will take more money than the small rural district can currently afford. As a result, the state is mandating that to receive funding help, the district must be combined with the neighboring Oak Shores Municipal Water District, which serves Lake Morena Village, even though customers in that district previously voted against consolidation. According to the state, infants under 6 months old and pregnant women should not drink water with high nitrate levels. Infants who do drink nitrate-contaminated water or formula made with it can develop blue baby syndrome, which leads to death if untreated. High nitrates can also affect oxygen-carrying ability of the blood in pregnant women. Wellman Simmons, president of the water district, says elderly and those who are sick should also not use tap water for cooking or drinking. Boiling, freezing, filtering, or letting tap water stand will not reduce nitrate levels, and boiling can actually increase the concentrations. The nitrates are most likely from runoff of agricultural sources such as fertilizers or septic systems. Initially, the district was giving bottled water to all residents. But when stores started rationing sales of bottled water due to COVID-19-induced hoarding, the district was forced to instead advise residents to go to the Lake Morena Malt Shop and obtain quarters provided by the district to buy a gallon of water a day per family member. Those who want more water, such as for their pets, have to buy it. Meanwhile, residents continue using tap water for washing dishes and bathing. On March 26th, resident Debbie Rice posted on Facebook, "Does anyone in the Upper Village have an update on when we may have drinkable water again? The time frame gets more desperate every day." But, she noted, "our little water company has been through hell. Even with all the adversity, the alternative is to drill our own well, a costly option, with no guarantee of getting safer water." Simmons says the district has already spent $20,000 of shareholders' money on upgrades, but needs another $13,000 to put a nitrate automatic monitoring system in. The district takes in only about $15,000 in each billing period and has $11,000 in expenses each billing period. Now with the COVID-19 shutdown, Simmons says, "we don't know how many people are going to be able to pay their bills. We're working on it the best we can, trying to keep down expenses for everybody." The district is hoping for a state grant, but that would be contingent on merging with Oak Shores, the neighboring water district, which has submitted a signed board resolution to agree to consider consolidation. But the new nitrate monitoring system still has to go through county planning and engineering reviews. The district has been plagued by other problems. One well has been shut down for some time due to natural uranium, a problem not uncommon in our region's rural areas in deep wells. In late 2016, the district was cited by the county for violations of the California Safe Drinking Water Act. Nitrate levels fluctuate depending on a variety of factors, including rainfall and runoff. The maximum nitrate level allowed by the state is 10 milligrams per liter. Since the September public warning, the levels have ranged from a low of just over 10 to a high of more than 32 in the most recent reading. Simmons says the district has asked the state and county to expedite testing and permitting of the interim water treatment system, and if all goes well, he hopes to have the new nitrate monitoring and shutoff system in place in June. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
You're listening to the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for our region.
Santee City Council has amended a law that it recently passed banning evictions of residential tenants hurting from the effects of the coronavirus. The amended version now protects commercial tenants as well. The revised law passed unanimously April 8th. It prohibits landlords from evicting both residential and commercial tenants from leased quarters for non-payment of rent if the tenant proves they can't pay the rent because of financial impacts related to COVID-19. For businesses leasing property, the law specifies that tenants must show they've suffered a substantial decrease in business income caused by a reduction in opening hours or consumer demand. The law defines substantial decrease to mean at least a 30% decline in business income. Rent forgiveness, even for negatively impacted businesses, is not permitted. Tenants are required to notify landlords they can't pay their rent within at most 7 days of the due date, according to the law. California Governor Gavin Newsom enacted an executive order back on March 27th installing a moratorium on evictions for all residential tenants statewide impacted by COVID-19, but he left it up to local jurisdictions to define how commercial tenants could be accommodated. Six cities and the County of San Diego have enacted eviction moratoriums for commercial tenants during the crisis, including La Mesa and Poway in our inland region. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for April the 10th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. The week ends with the story that's dominated the news for a month now, and while stay-at-home measures appear to be slowing the spread of the new coronavirus, they're also leading to an increase in domestic violence.
It's a worldwide phenomenon, where social distancing keeps people in their homes, reports of domestic violence have surged. In New York City, visits to the city's domestic violence website more than doubled in the past 3 weeks, although many city and state services have been curtailed by the pandemic. Anna Maria Diamante with the legal services organization Her Justice says courts still are open for virtual appearances in emergency proceedings.
The courts are up and running for order of protection applications, and there are agencies out there that are available to help for those services.
The New York State Domestic and Sexual Violence Hotline has contact information for local support programs throughout the state at 800-942-6906. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
April happens to be Child Abuse Prevention Month this year. It comes with the extra challenge as families shelter in place. Kathy Carman is an instructor in Boise for the Program Stewards of Children, which holds training on child sex abuse prevention for adults.
When children are in isolated situations, that's when, from what research tells us, about 80% of the sexual abuse occurs. And we are isolated in our own homes right now.
About 90% of victims know their abusers. Carmen says children being out of school also increases the chances for abuse. Meantime, young adults aging out of foster care in the U.S. have been thrown into the crisis during the COVID-19 pandemic. That's according to a new report.
Celeste Bodner is with Foster Club, a national network for young adults out of foster care that ran the study through Facebook and email. Bodner says foster youth in college have been hit especially hard as schools began to close, leaving them without a childhood home to return to.
Last week, we found that among 18 to 24-year-olds, that housing instability surfaced right away. Since the start of the crisis, about 40% have already been forced to move or fear losing their housing.
The report also found that almost 30% of foster young adults surveyed said they don't have enough to eat, and about a quarter said they have no emotional support at a time they need more reassurance than ever. The Foster Club website includes some foster youth resources. Bodner explains that West Virginia's foster young adults are particularly vulnerable during the pandemic. I'm Diane Bernard.
The study also finds more than 25% of young people surveyed have lost their jobs. Almost 40% have had their work hours cut. In 2017, more than 17,000 young people in the U.S. aged out of foster care without permanent families. This is PNS. The coronavirus pandemic has sabotaged what was a booming U.S. economy. Some experts don't expect it to be roaring back as the health crisis abates. The number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits surged to record levels last week, bringing the total applications to nearly 17 million. Jim Peach is a former economics professor at New Mexico State University.
We've never seen anything like this. And none of the economic models are any good at this point. The economic models are designed to deal with small changes, not huge changes.
Federal figures show nearly 73,000 people in New Mexico filed for unemployment in the past 3 weeks, compared to a normal weekly number of claims between 600 and 900. The Economic Policy Institute estimates New Mexico will have the 10th highest job loss nationwide in tourism and hospitality due to COVID-19. Minnesota school districts carrying out distance learning as most of the state remains shut down due to the pandemic. Schools in Minnesota close through early May, possibly the rest of the academic year. That means that teachers and parents are responsible for making sure children are still learning at home. Jim Crossan's with the group Ed Allies. He's concerned because there are situations where barriers exist.
We're hearing from English language learners, families where English is not a language spoken at home, or it's not the first language spoken at home, that are having a tough time being able to receive information from schools and school districts to then implement these district learning plans at homes.
Crossan says some families don't have internet access or parents' job situation does not allow them to ensure that their child is doing their schoolwork. The education commissioner there says the guidelines allow districts to create plans to meet the needs of individual students rather than a one-size-fits-all approach. Thanks for wrapping up your week in this new mode of separation. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.